Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Hoo-wah! The Frontlines of Freedom team really appreciates you joining us this fine day in America. We are proud Americans. Here's what we have for you this hour. We're going to start by talking with Navy vet Steve Burkhalter from Concerned Veterans for America. Then we'll shoot the bull with Air Force vet Amanda Winters. And of course, we'll conclude with our military history and our self-defense report. So it's a pleasure to introduce Steve Burkhalter. He's a Navy vet and is the strategic director for Ohio for Concerned Veterans for America. He's part of an excellent team that's working hard to help veteran and other patriots get our nation back on track. I've been working with them for a long time. So I guess I should say welcome aboard, right, Steve?
Thank you so much for having me, Denny. I appreciate it, Colonel.
Okay, Steve, start by telling us about your time in the Navy. Why'd you join? When? What'd you do? How long did you serve?
Yes, sir. I had the privilege of being a part of an elite team in Little Creek, Virginia that flew hovercraft. I was a part of a five-man crew. We served during the Bosnia conflict back in the late 90s and was able to be a part of the five-man team that was an engineer on one of those. So it was an exciting time to be able to take troops from the ship to the shore without getting their boots wet.
Well, I only did a little bit of getting your boots wet stuff. I know I would have appreciated it. So that sounds cool. How long did you serve?
I was there for 4 years and I finished my service in 97.
Okay. What have you done since you got out?
Well, I've been a part of a lot of teams, veteran volunteer groups. I've been a part of instituting volunteer groups and grassroots armies of around veteran policies and veteran issues.
The Concerned Veterans for America sort of fit you perfectly, didn't it?
It really did. I have taken a giant leap forward in trying to advocate for veterans and the nation all across the country.
So you're basically a guy who took the oath to support and defend the Constitution and saw your brothers and sisters in arms, and you haven't stopped supporting yet.
You know, I like to tell the story that when I left Little Creek, Virginia, left the amphibious warfare base there, I was looking in the rearview mirror and I noticed the sign up at the front end of the base. And as I was going forward, as I was looking back in the mirror, I realized that oath that I took to defend the Constitution and defend our country is never really done. So I continued to do that service all through the last 25 years of my experience after the Navy.
Well, I understand, because I think I'm in the same boat you are. How did you get involved with CVA?
Yeah, sure. I was a volunteer as a part of a grassroots army myself. We were in the back end of a church making phone calls, calling into senators and representatives in D.C. to try to get better health care for veterans at the VA. That's exactly how I started. And as I grew a grassroots army, that seemed interested to join the team full time. And I did serve that experience for nearly 4 years before I became a director with the organization. And now we lead grassroots armies all across the country. It's exciting.
Well, it is true in our country. It's we, the people, that have the power, but we only have it if we use it. And we have to call our elected officials and hold them accountable. And if we don't do that, we're incompetent as good citizens. Is that a fair statement?
I 100% agree. You know, at CVA, we work on things like oversight of the VA, trying to reduce spending at the VA and the DOD level, trying to get them to understand about how we should, in essence, have a restraint policy when it comes to our foreign policy. And try to get out of some of these endless wars that we've been a part of for over 20 years.
Yes, sir. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're talking with Steve Burkhalter from Concerned Veterans for America. Okay, let's discuss some of our nation's challenges that CVA is working on. What are CVA's policy priorities? I guess that's the right word for this year. Where's their focus?
Our focus this year in the policy priorities for 2023 with Concerned Veterans for America is the quality of care. So at the VA, getting the quality of care that a veteran deserves, they fought for, They have defended our country. They come back home. They have been discharged from the service. Now we are supposed to be taking better care of them. We passed the Mission Act in 2018, and now we're trying to get them better care where they are at. Some of the quality of care that they deserve is not being dealt with. We can't get them into community care. So that's one of our policy priorities, as well as we're working to end the endless wars. Like I said a minute ago, there is too many conflicts. We're involved in way too many conflicts. Trying to end the war in Iraq and trying to reduce our footprint in the Middle East is a priority to CVA, as well as defense spending. Defense spending has been going up and up. We should be on the downward spiral from spending since we pulled out of Afghanistan. Our focus on the budget for the DoD should show and reflect that we pulled out of Afghanistan, as well as VA spending. We should be putting the money in the veterans care and not just in the buildings and the infrastructure.
Yeah, I cannot disagree with that. Now, the endless war thing is crazy. I've often felt that if we're going to send our troops to fight, and I don't mean for a week somewhere, but for very long, Congress should declare war and the whole nation should go to war. Too oftentimes, our wars in the Mideast, our military was at war, Congress was at lunch, and the rest of America was at the mall. America didn't go to war, and we win the wars where America goes to war, right?
Correct. I mean, Congress has completely neglected its very first duty in Article 1, where it states that they are to oversee and authorize any use of military force. And we need to be repealing the AUMFs that are existing or continuing to exist and pull some of our troops out of harm's way.
Now, I personally don't have a problem with us having our special ops guys helping other countries deal with terrorism or whatever. But that's different than, you know, a small team. That's different than a major conflict where we have guys and gals over there fighting and dying and spending billions of dollars. We've got to get our priorities right, I think.
Absolutely. We shouldn't be unilaterally declaring war from the executive branch of our government.
Amen. And there is so much to do. I've talked to many congressmen and veterans. There's a lot of things they could do to save money in the Department of Defense without affecting readiness. There's the politics in there. You know, I've got a plant, and I'm in the Congress, and I've got a plant that makes military something in my state, and I'm doing everything I can to make the military keep buying those things, even though they're obsolete. And I mean, there's that kind of stuff going on, and we just got to get somebody in there that knows how to say no. Is that a fair statement?
That is a fair statement. I do believe we need to champion a lot of the policymakers and a lot of the politicians that have veterans and our troops in mind. You know, excessive use of military force in places and or in places just for their special interest. And so policymakers need to prioritize that the vital U.S. interest by ending endless wars in the Middle East and in the Horn of Africa. So we've disconnected from those kind of interest in our policies. And it's the 20th anniversary. This is what is ridiculous. It's the 20th anniversary of the war of Iraq. We had the 20th anniversary of the war in Afghanistan. It's just long overdue.
Yes, sir, it is. And there's more to discuss about our nation's challenges, and Steve is going to stay with us. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, it's time to run hard for a couple of miles. Do this while thinking patriotic thoughts. Steve and I will be right back.
We were instrumental in passing the VA Mission Act, so more veterans could have options and freedom in their health care. We're leading the charge to end America's endless wars, bringing thousands of troops home and stopping trillions of dollars from being wasted. Our key to success? You. We bring your voice to our nation's leaders so we can all have a better future. We are concerned veterans for America. the voice of veterans for freedom and prosperity. Visit cv4a.org to learn more and join the movement.
Troops America has gotten more dangerous. If you're like me, you'll defend yourself and your family with a firearm if necessary. As right as this is, if it happens, experts recommend not talking to police without an attorney present. That's why I'm a member of U.S. Law Shield. They are the very best self-defense insurance that I've found. They provide unlimited attorney coverage as needed at a very reasonable price. Check uslawshield.com, uslawshield.com, and use the code FRONTLINES. That's one word, FRONTLINES. You'll be glad you did. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Thanks for joining us today on Frontlines of Freedom. We're continuing our conversation with Concerned Veterans for America's Steve Burkhalter. We're discussing, among other things, where we shouldn't fight. Steve, one of the things that I'm concerned about is, it was a resolution that I wasn't even aware of until I did some research, called the Yemen War Powers Resolution, that sort of sent a signal to Saudi Arabia that we're not going to continue underwriting their hostilities. We could have direct military support and intelligence sharing and logistical support with them, but we don't want to fight their wars. CVA had a role, a position on that. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, there's a tentative ceasefire that exists between them. The Houthis rebels overthrew the Saudi-backed government in Yemen, and the United States' relationship with the Saudis enables the humanitarian catastrophe that's crippled the Saudi allies. But we, Concerned Veterans for America, believe that President Biden campaigned on these U.S. support for the conflict, but has doubled down on Americans' failed Yemen policy by whipping against a congressional war powers vote in December. So the war and the U.S. support for it is both a moral, we believe it's a moral abomination and a strategic miscalculation. So both parties, whether you're Republican or Democrat administrations, dating back to Obama's second term, are to blame for this this catastrophe.
Yes, sir. I'm glad we're at least trying to put that in the rearview mirror. Speaking of things not in the rearview mirror, I suppose we can't not mention briefly at least the Chinese balloon. CVA may not have a position on that. What do you think about it?
Yeah, CVA doesn't have an official statement or a position on that. Personally, I believe, and I think would stand as a representative of Concerned Veterans for America, we do not need to get into any more escalation of conflict. This is something that I'm sure they're still studying and understanding what was going on in the air for several days, weeks. I do believe, as a veteran and for me personally, as a United States Navy veteran, that all of our airspace is sovereign. So we should be looking into why they would send such a mechanical thing over our airspace. But, you know, in the end, I think the bottom line would be we need to be speaking in terms of why they're doing these things versus what was in the sky.
That's true. How about Ukraine?
Yeah, I mean, Ukraine is a catastrophe in itself, right? So, well, there's a lot of increasing stalemates on either side. It's likely to be decisive in victory. So I think one of the biggest provisions that was given by the Biden administration was they demonstrated a realistic approach to the conduct in Ukraine. They sent antiquated, like, fourth gen fighter tanks to the region, which could probably hurt instead of really helping the Ukrainians in their efforts to fight against Russia. So I think the conflict has a potential to become a prolonged, entrenched war. Our standpoint is we do not need to continue to show support financially over a long extended period of time. We need to show more restraint in the way things like this escalate.
Well, we do. And one thing that everybody seems to be ignoring is that Ukraine, like most, maybe not third world, but almost third world countries, it has been and continues to be basically corrupt. And we know that a huge amount of the money we've sent them we never followed up on. We never asked them where it went. We don't know where it went. And there's all kinds of indication that the money's gone all kinds of places, to include not for their defense of their nation. If we're going to give money, we need to have a process to see where it goes. Yeah. This is something that I don't think we do well. At least we certainly not doing it now.
Yeah, I have a lot to say about that in terms of what we're doing with the money is it's not, it's just being stockpiled in someone's pocket over there. We don't really exactly know exactly where that money is going. It's not been spelled out, but I do have a point to make. I really believe that we're watching in real time as the United States is, and their limited principles that we have are flying out the window. There's public opinion that's growing increasingly opposing to give more aid to Ukraine in the Republican House. So I believe that the call to action for those that are listening, for constituents that are out there in the United States, for those all over the country, Concerned Veterans for America is all over the country. We are in several states across this nation, is to grab a hold of your loved ones, get a hold of somebody who can vote, and really make your voice heard in these upcoming elections over the next few years. The sense that we will actually have some sort of budgetary constraint when it comes to giving these things, the demand or the likelihood of aid to a place like Ukraine will most likely be scaled back over the future.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that I don't support the Ukraine people fighting Russia's. I mean, Russia is clearly evil in what they're doing. But, you know, I think that Western Europe should be their major support, because if Russia eats Ukraine, Western European countries are going to be the next ones they potentially could eat. So they're the ones that should be really providing the bulk of their support. And I think we should be supporting Ukraine, but not like we are now. Does that make sense to you?
It absolutely does. The U.S. is facing so many different challenges right now. As you look across our nation, we're facing all kinds of challenges, and maintaining weapons supplies and stockpiles in a place like Ukraine, making it difficult to sustain ongoing arms and transfer of arms to Ukraine. It's essential, Colonel, that we would have Europe as the leading role in supporting Ukraine. As their needs are more immediate, European nations need to have the capability to support and provide support to Ukraine during this time.
Amen, brother. Okay, we're about out of time, but Steve, take some time now and tell us how listeners can learn more about Concerned Veterans for America, how to plug in, and how to participate in getting involved in getting control of our nation.
It's very, very easy to become involved with Concerned Veterans for America. You can go right to our website, which is cv4a.org. That's cv, the number 4a.org. You can sign up for our newsletter. We are all across the nation. You can find a chapter probably in your backyard of Concerned Veterans for America. Become a volunteer, get a part of the Army, go and support your politicians that actually care about veterans and veteran issues. We are out there ready to launch into your neighborhood. Come and be a part of us. Just join us at cv4a.org.
And I strongly encourage that. I've been involved with CVA for a long time. Congressmen and elected officials can't read your minds. You have to communicate with them, and then you have to hold them accountable. And if you aren't doing it, well, we all have to be doing it, because this is our country. Steve, thank you. Thank you for taking time to join us today. Thank you for your service to our nation. I'm proud to call you a friend.
Thank you so much, Colonel. I appreciate you having me on. It's been a blessing.
Coming up next on Front Lines of Freedom, we'll shoot the bull with Air Force vet Amanda Winters. Then we'll open our weekly mailbag. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Front Lines of Freedom. Troops, it's time for one-arm push-ups. Just do a dozen with each arm, twice. Then take a break, but stay in the area. I'll be right back.
Hi. HelpVet.net is here to help all veterans, active military, and families. HelpVet.net is a national help center helping the military community with their everyday needs. Whether you need a realtor, an attorney, discounted services, or information on retirement benefits, financial resources, and much more, our vast network of hand-picked qualified service providers are waiting to help you. With up-to-date military news and resources, you can find answers to all your needs at HelpVet.net. HelpVet.net. Never forget, never forgotten.
Friends, there's not too many things I enjoy more than helping veterans and eating great beef jerky. Now I can do both. My good friends at Tango3.org and America's Best Beef Jerky use the highest quality beef to make the best jerky I've ever tasted. Trust me, I've eaten a lot. But that's not all. They give 100% of the profit to veterans programs, mental health and suicide prevention. Go to americasbestbeefjerky.com and order now. And at checkout, check the Front Lines of Freedom promo code. Welcome back to Front Lines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Troops, I really do welcome your comments and questions. Contact me through frontlinesoffreedom.com or comment on Facebook. Today, we're going to shoot the bull with an Air Force veteran, Amanda Winters. The two things I know about Amanda is that she is a leader and she's not shy. She's quite a lady. Welcome back to the show, Amanda.
Thank you, Denny. Hi, how are you?
Awesome. So, Amanda, where did you grow up and why did you have an interest in the Air Force?
Well, I was born in Texas and I graduated high school out of Michigan. And my father and grandfathers were all in the military. And my father died when I was 11. And so that was the one thing that I could do to, in his memory kind of deal. But everything I did in the military was for my own career. So that's where my interest came from. And I really didn't want to stay in Michigan. I kind of wanted to travel the world. So that was another bonus.
Yeah, I understand that statement. Okay. So what did you do? Where did you serve? How long were you in?
So I went to basic training December of 1998, and I retired in August of 2015. And during that time, I was stationed in Florida, Korea, England, and Georgia. My job was medical supply. So quite the interesting intricates of learning everything that was needed for a clinic or a hospital to even run. And when you learn that you're the one buying the pens and the carpet and every single Band-Aid and anything and everything that you see in a hospital or a clinic, I was responsible for that. And it gave and still gives you a new perspective of, wow, there's somebody that buys that. It just doesn't show up.
You know, that's a really valid point. One of the things that I get questioned about every once in a while is, well, how many infantrymen do we have and how many well, it's not just how many infantrymen and tank, it's all the people behind them we need to keep them functional.
Exactly.
And nobody thinks about that. But if nobody is preparing, delivering the food, the ammunition, the supplies, the communications backup and medical, I mean, there's so much that has to be done. Why would you even think about it unless, like you were doing it? It's an incredibly vital situation because your point's well taken. Where would we be if that wasn't happening?
You know, some people were like, oh, you're just medical supply. You don't matter. I fly planes or I'm a cop or I'm this and I'm that. And I'm like, yeah, but wait a minute. Without your vitamin M, as we called it, which is Motrin, you wouldn't be able to deploy. Without your first aid kit that's on your airplane, you wouldn't be able to deploy. So you're welcome. They're like, right? They're like, you mean my plane can't fly if my first aid kit is expired? I'm like, no. And so, right? So any and all of those things that you see in those operations, medical supply is responsible for that, of keeping it up to snuff.
Well, and if you get hurt, do you want the medical place they take you to have everything up to date and ready to go?
And not expired. Exactly.
Yeah, it is funny, actually, the sick side of funny, how people take that position of, you know, what I'm doing is important. Well, of course it is, but so is what everybody's doing. We really don't have anybody, well, at least I don't think we have anybody in the military whose job it is to chew gum and juggle ping pong balls or something. you know, and I'm not saying there aren't anybody doing that, but I don't think that we specifically plan that. There was a song, I think it was, came out in World War II, it was The Man Behind the Man Behind the Gun. It takes a lot of people back there to keep the frontline troops doing what they're doing. And you won't last long if they're not there.
Well, so, right. And then being out on the front lines, you know, the amount of support that's on the front lines as well as back at home.
Yeah, that's true. So you did that for your whole career. What did you do when you got out?
When I got out, I thought I wanted to tear down all the abandoned buildings and recoup the wood and try to sell it. But that was really hard. And so I worked for the Girl Scouts as a adult training leader, where I got paid to go camping. I mean, it was awesome. I got to teach adults how to go camping so they could teach girls how to go camping and just kind of keeping life simple. And then I moved back to Michigan to be closer to family. And I worked for ServPro doing fire, water, mold restoration marketing, which taught me a lot about that world. And then I wanted something a little closer to home, and I was able to take those skills and go to a gun range. And now I'm working at a gun range, managing it, also a firearms instructor, and I do all of its social media and website stuff.
Yes, you do. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom, and we're shooting the bull with Air Force vet Amanda Winters. So I know that you manage Center Shot Gun Range. I didn't know that you were also an instructor, but I'm not surprised because you do know the stuff. That's got to be an interesting place, because there's a lot of people who do want to have a firearm, but maybe don't fully understand you need to be trained first in order to be safe, or who come with different ideas. As an instructor, do you run into people with sort of weird ideas?
You know, even just out of the instructor world, even just working the customer service counter, we have plenty of people come and they're like, I want a gun. Okay, well, what do you want a gun for? Home defense, but I've never shot before. And you're like, oh, okay. Especially when COVID hit, a lot of people came and hit the gun stores and I need something for defense. I'm afraid of the riot. And, you know, they never shot it. They never took a class, but they took it home. And then a couple years later, they're trading that gun in because they don't need it. Other people are like, you know, I bought this gun because I was scared, but now I need the classes. So they sign up for classes. We have a few instructors here at Center Shot, actually. And I specifically just try to stay focused on the women's only courses. So I deal a lot more with the female aspect and, you know, coming from a female world and even being in the military in itself. I mean, I shot an M16 a couple of times and a 9mm just a few times while I was active duty. But being able to speak to them from a female standpoint of view, growing up, you know, hunting, and they're like, here's a loaded gun. Okay, go kill a deer. We killed the deer. And now they took the gun and they cleaned it. So there's so many things that I could understand where women come in here, well, my husband just always does everything. And like, okay, we're going to make you self-sufficient because this is about you. Because one of these times he's not going to be there, or I'm not going to be there. And to just watch the empowerment of the knowledge put in people, whether it be youth, women, men, even people from other countries that come over here and they want it as an event. And they're like, oh, in my country, we not allow guns. You know, and so, and it's so amazing to watch that empowerment to be like, wow, I really can do this. And then when they're like, it's kind of like driving a car. Yeah, it kind of is like driving a car.
That's got to be awesome to see that. You know, I taught class in college and payday was when you saw the light bulb come on over somebody's head. Ooh, exactly. I get it now.
Yep.
Well, we're about out of time, but you are managing a Center Shot Gun Range. Talk a little bit about where it is and what it does and how people can contact you if they'd like to.
So Center Shot Gun Range is located in Door, Michigan, just south of Grand Rapids and slightly north of Kalamazoo. It is in West Michigan. It's in the middle of a cornfield, so it's out in the country. We have 12 lanes indoors, all 25 yards or 75 feet. Our targets are electronic. We have multiple training classes available. Youth are welcome. Anyone under the age of 16 is free with a paying adult. And we love to teach. We are here to educate and to respect the responsibility of firearms as well as the Second Amendment. They can check out our website at centershotgunrange.com. We are on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, MeWe, Getter, all under Center Shot Gun Range. And they can shoot us an email through our website, thundershotgunrange.com, or info@thundershotgunrange.com. And our staff is pretty awesome. We've got about 13 people on staff to include our instructors, as well as gunsmithing.
Indeed, it is, because I've been there. Thank you, Amanda. Thanks for taking time to join us today. Thank you for service to our nation back then and what you're doing now and for being my friend. Thank you.
Thank you, Dunny. It's a pleasure. Anytime.
Troops, if you're a veteran who's having trouble getting your disability approved by the VA, contact Barry Law. Reach them at ptsdlawyers.com. That's ptsdlawyers.com. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Next up, it's time for our weekly mailbag. Then it's military history time. You've reported for duty to Front Lines of Freedom. Stand tall, troops. Let's do some more push-ups. How about 60 this time? And once your range are ready, then stand at ease.
Friends, Adam here, Patriot Foods, U.S.-only company. Frozen fruits and vegetables straight from our dirt, not overseas. Support the U.S. farmer. When you shop at patriotfoods.com, we give back to a military family in need. We got to take care of each other, my friends. We have to. So important. 10% off patriotfoods.com. 10% off promo code FREEDOM and shop today.
Do you have a story inside you yearning to come out? As a self-published author, you are free to creatively distribute your book online or using your own professional connections. White Feather Press will publish your manuscript and set up online distribution, allowing the author to retain all copyright and distribution rights as well as all profits. Check out White Feather Press at publishyourdream.com. White Feather Press, reaffirming faith in God, family, and country. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. This is the final formation for this week on Front Lines of Freedom. Okay, team, it's mailbag time. I really welcome comments from you, our listeners. Do send your thoughts to me at denny@frontlinesoffreedom.com or comment on Facebook. Skip, what's the first comment?
Well, Colonel, Army vet Amy really agreed with the discussion on our woke military.
Well, Amy, you're right. Unfortunately, our military is really woke or broke or both.
And then Navy mom, Marie, loved the warrior music presentation and will be sharing information about it.
Thanks, Marie. We do need to get the word out. Okay, now it's time for military history. Take us there, Skip.
Well, Colonel, on 13 February 1776, Patrick Henry became Colonel of the 1st Virginia Battalion in defense of the state's supply of gunpowder. A Virginia lawyer, Henry gained fame as a member of the House of Burgesses, with his passionate speeches against British rule and what he saw as their unfair taxation policy. First elected in 1765, he promptly proposed 5 resolutions opposing a Stamp Act that became models for other colonies. Henry's was the first, and often the loudest and most articulate voice, raised against taxation without representation. Henry was elected to the First Continental Congress in 1774 and quickly became the group's most outspoken member. As a member of the Second Continental Congress, showed solidarity with Bostonians suffering under British military occupation in March 1775. On March 23rd, 1775, at St. John's Church in Richmond, Virginia, Henry gave his most famous speech, in which he urged Virginians to ally themselves with besieged Boston with the words, "Give me liberty or give me death." Then on April 20, Virginia's royal governor, Lord Dunmore, attempted to take the gunpowder from the Williamsburg Magazine as part of his attempt to hold on to power in the colony. In response, Henry led the Patriot militia in a standoff with Dunmore's troops until fellow Virginian patriot Carter Braxton negotiated a settlement. The incident is known as the Gunpowder Affair. Henry served as the first governor of the state of Virginia and served again later. Among his most important work was his fight for the addition of the first 10 amendments, known as the Bill of Rights, to the U.S. Constitution, which guarantee basic freedoms, such as the freedoms of speech and religion, to American citizens.
And on 13 February 1861, the earliest military action to be revered with the Medal of Honor Award was performed by Colonel Bernard Irwin, an assistant Army surgeon, serving in the first U.S. Apache conflict near Apache Pass in southern Arizona. Irwin, an Irish-born doctor, volunteered to go to the rescue of Lieutenant George Bascom, who was trapped with his 60 men of the 7th Infantry by the Chiricahua Apaches. Irwin and 14 men, initially without horses, began the 100-mile trek to Bascom's forces riding on mules. After fighting and capturing Apaches along the way, recovering stolen horses and cattle, they reached Bascom's forces on the 14th of February and proved instrumental in breaking the siege. The first U.S. Apache conflict had begun several days before when Cochise, the Chiricahua Apache chief, kidnapped three white men to exchange for his brother and two nephews held by the army on false charges of stealing cattle and kidnapping a child. When the exchange was refused, Cochise killed the white men, and the army responded by killing his relatives, setting off the first Apache War. Although Irwin's bravery in this conflict was the earliest Medal of Honor action, the award itself was not created until the next year. It was not until 1894 that Irwin received our nation's highest military honor.
And on 16 February 1804, during the First Barbary War, Lieutenant Stephen Decatur led a military mission that famed British Admiral Horatio Nelson called the most daring act of the age. In June 1801, President Thomas Jefferson ordered Navy vessels to the Mediterranean in protest of continuing raids against U.S. ships by pirates from the Barbary States. After 2 years of minor confrontations, sustained action began in June 1803 when a small U.S. expeditionary force attacked Tripoli Harbor in present-day Libya. In October 1803, the U.S. frigate Philadelphia ran aground near Tripoli and was captured by Tripolitan gunboats. We feared that the well-constructed warship would be both a formidable addition to the Tripolitan Navy and a model for building future frigates. Hoping to prevent them from gaining this advantage, Lieutenant Stephen Decatur led a daring expedition into Tripoli Harbor to destroy the vessel. After disguising himself and his men as Maltese sailors, Decatur's 74 men sailed into Tripoli Harbor on a small two-mast ship. They approached the Philadelphia without drawing fire from the Tripoli shore guns, boarded the ship, and attacked its Tripolitan crew. After setting fire to the frigate, Decatur and his men escaped with no losses. The Philadelphia subsequently exploded. 6 months later, Decatur returned to Tripoli as part of a larger American offensive and emerged as a hero again during the so-called Battle of the Gunboats, a naval battle that saw hand-to-hand combat between the Americans and the Tripolitans.
That was quite a guy there. And on the 15th of February, 1898, a massive explosion of unknown origin sank the battleship USS Maine in Cuba's Havana Harbor, killing 260 of the fewer than 400 American crew aboard. The Maine was ostensibly on a friendly visit sent to Cuba to protect the interests of Americans there after a rebellion against Spanish rule broke out in Havana in January. An official naval court of inquiry ruled in March the ship was blown up by a mine, not directly placing the blame on Spain. Much of Congress and most Americans expressed little doubt that Spain was responsible and called for a declaration of war. Diplomatic failures, coupled with our indignation over Spain's brutal suppression of the Cuban Rebellion and continued losses to American investments, led to the Spanish-American War starting in April 1898. Within 3 months, the U.S. had decisively defeated Spanish forces on land and sea, and in August, an armistice halted the fighting. In December, the Treaty of Paris between us and Spain officially ended the war and granted the U.S. its first ever overseas empire with the ceding of such former Spanish possessions as Puerto Rico, Guam, and the Philippines. In 1976, a team of American naval investigators concluded that the Maine explosion was likely caused by a fire that ignited its ammunition stocks, not by a Spanish mine or an act of sabotage. And that's military history for today. And now it's time for our self-defense report. Take us there, Skip.
All of us here at Frontlines of Freedom want our listeners to get trained and get armed in that order. We fully support the right to keep and bear arms for all law-abiding families, and we encourage you to find out about the laws governing use of deadly force in your state and follow them to the letter. And, of course, don't forget to follow the rules of safety and common sense whenever you're carrying a firearm to protect the ones you love. What's the story this week, Colonel?
Well, a Seattle man brutally beat a woman with a baseball bat during a random attack as she walked home. Juantes Jamel Tulos, 31, who lived in transitional housing, was charged in the ferocious attack that was caught on surveillance footage in Seattle's Belltown section. The footage showed Juantes drop two bags he was holding so that he could grip the bat with both hands and attack the woman from behind as she walked alone on January 31st. He was seen taking a full body swing at the woman's head, police said. After knocking her to the ground, he picked up his belongings and left, the footage shows. Cops found the woman, who works at Amazon, on her back with blood flowing from her right ear. She suffered skull fractures, a possible concussion, and needed significant surgery in the aftermath of the assault, according to the charging documents.
Thanks, Colonel. As the homeless crisis in the United States continues to get worse and worse every year, violent crime continues to soar. This homeless man in Seattle felt no empathy or sympathy for the poor woman he bludgeoned from behind with a baseball bat. For people like you and I, we are appalled when we read articles like this, simply because we just don't understand why someone could be so cruel. But folks, I'm here to tell you that this homeless epidemic, as well as the mental illness epidemic, is going to gradually get worse and worse, and you and I need to prepare for the new normal. Roughly 25% of the homeless population in the U.S. suffers from serious mental illness. That's compared to only 6% of the general population. Why is that a problem? Well, because these people have no ties to the community. They feel little accountability, and quite frankly, the authorities really have little idea on how to handle them. We don't have the resources to give them proper treatment, and putting them all in jail isn't a viable option either. But solving the world's mental illness problem is beyond the scope of this report and certainly outside my area of expertise. So let's just deal with how you and I can protect ourselves and the ones we love against attacks like this. After all, when someone smashes you in the back of the head with a baseball bat, your first question isn't, I wonder how we can get this man help. No, not at all. Your first question should be, how can I keep this from happening to me again? Here are some tips. First, avoid risky interaction with homeless people in general. There was a time when I wouldn't hesitate to hand a homeless person some cash simply because I felt sorry for them, but I don't do that anymore. The homeless population has changed. They are more likely to be mentally ill, violent, and suffering from addictions. That makes them high risk to you and your family. I've given my wife explicit instructions not to allow the homeless to approach her or our children. I know that sounds heartless, but it's just too dangerous. Second, stay very alert when you're in areas where the homeless frequent. If you pull into a convenience store parking lot and a man walks up to your window, just carefully drive away and go to a different store. Better yet, learn where the homeless frequent and just avoid those places altogether. It's by far the safest option. And third, now more than ever, we need to operate at a heightened state of awareness, especially in the big city. You don't have to be paranoid, but you do need to know if someone is sneaking up behind you with a baseball bat. The old saying, stay alert, stay alive, is just as true now as ever before. I wish I could tell you this was a story with a happy ending, but I can't. But we can learn by the mistakes of others. Frontlines of Freedom encourages all our listeners to take their own personal defense seriously and to prepare your family for this violent surge. And as always, get good training and consider going armed.
We got to do that. Our movie of the month is The Silent Child. You can go to the Frontlines of Freedom website, go to the blog, get the link. You can watch it for free. We'll review it at the end of the month. I really appreciate getting your comments about it. Send them to me at denny@frontlinesoffreedom.com. Next week on Frontlines of Freedom, Army vet John Barry will discuss his book on helping vets. Then General Paul Valley will critique the COVID shot crisis and some other things. And General Chris Petty will present the Battle of the Month. Our book, Frontlines of Freedom, with 19 authors, has the mission of helping all patriotic Americans step up and help our nation return to our traditional values of serving, not being served, of being in shape physically, mentally, and morally, of being proud of our nation. You can purchase this book at frontlinesoffreedom.com. Please help us get this call to action book into the hands of all Americans.
Thank you, friends, for joining us for Frontlines of Freedom today and every week on this great station. Please check us out on Facebook and add your comments. And if you missed any part of this show, hey, all our shows are available on demand at frontlinesoffreedom.com. We especially thank our military listeners for serving our country with honor and dignity and for keeping us all safe. God bless you and your families as you serve.
I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Thank you, listeners all across America, for joining us in the foxholes on the front lines of freedom. Stand tall, be proud Americans, and join me next week for military and veteran information you won't get anywhere else on the front lines of freedom. Dismissed.